Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. That's right. It's Tuesday. It's a rainy Tuesday. So prepare for that when you're driving to work. April 16th. 2024. Today on the show, we'll talk to Jamie Bluma about the Royales with cheese. You know, on one of the HBOs, when was it? Sunday, Pulp Fiction was on. And I watched a good chunk of it, and I forgot how much I love that movie. So I forgot how great John Travolta is in that movie, and Bruce Willis.
And Christopher Walken.
Yeah. Right.
Your dad died of dysentery. Right. Give me the watch.
Everybody in that movie.
And that soundtrack was so great.
Oh, yeah.
And then I started to think about, you know, John Travolta. If you named for me the top 20 soundtracks ever in my life, Saturday Night Fever would be one, Grease would be one, Pulp Fiction would be one, and Urban Cowboy would be one. So there's four John Travolta movies, and so I don't know why I thought of that. I just did. I enjoyed watching the movie again.
Royale with cheese.
Right.
Vincent Vega and Jules Winfield.
That's exactly right. And so, yeah, the whole scene when they go to Jackrabbit Slim's.
Oh, man.
You know. Great movie. Should have won the Academy Award. Robbed. So.
What won instead?
I think Forrest Gump that year.
$5 shake?
I think so. I'm surprised you like that movie. It's violent.
I held off seeing it for a long time because people described the violent parts to me, and I was like, well, I don't think I'm interested in seeing that. But then everybody kept talking about it. Just like Game of Thrones, yeah. I'm able to get past the violence because it's such a good movie, but I don't love that part of it. But that's kind of, if you're going to watch Quentin Tarantino, you kind of got to accept that part.
I remember I was super excited about the fact that Travolta was in it and Bruce Willis was in it. And where did we go? It might have been Ward Parkway. We all went the first night it opened up, like me and a group of six or seven of us. And it's one of those movies where I'm like, I'll never forget like how awesome it was and how unlike anything else it was.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I've been going through it, watching some old movies that I haven't seen in a while, and that was one of them, so that was good. Go watch it, Jake, right now.
Right now?
Get back to me before 10 a.m.
Okay.
So Jamie Bluma will be on the show. We'll talk to Charles Goldsmith about the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk to Andy Rogers about the Kansas City Royals. And we'll talk to Drew Starlin, who is the star of Rocky Live on Stage, the musical that's playing right now at B&B Live over at the B&B Theaters in Shawnee off 435 in Midland. And Nate and I are make a cameo appearance in the musical. And I had a chance to go for opening night with, again, a big group, a group of 10. All my fam, my circle was there to watch, and it was awesome. It was great. I loved it. I love Rocky, so there was very little chance that I wouldn't love it. And Richie, even dressed as Rocky, and his girlfriend CJ had the red beret on that he had bought her as a gift, like Adrian at the end of Rocky, and so couldn't probably guess that he had a lot of viewings of Rocky when he was a young man. So it was great. I loved it. I loved the music. Some different music So we'll talk to Drew about that at 9:30. He's going to stop by the studio and say hello. And I think the next show is on Thursday. It runs through the 28th, but it's not every day. And I believe the next one is Thursday night. And we gave away some tickets last week. Hopefully those people had a chance to go. And hopefully you can go. And you can cheer when you see us, because it's partially on stage, and then there are elements of it on the big screen. So, and we're the part that's on the big screen as the broadcast crew for the big fight at the end of the movie between Rocky and Rocky and Apollo. Have you watched Rocky yet?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm going to be having some downtime here over the next couple weeks, it appears, so I'll make sure that's on the list. You know, maybe I'll do that today.
Why do you have downtime coming up?
Well, not going to be getting around as well as I would like to, so.
Why?
Well, because I broke my leg.
Broke your leg, your ankle?
Well, it's the bottom of my tibia, it appears, where it meets up with the ankle. So
You really shouted Jake and I down when we told you should go to the doctor, and it seemed like maybe it was a little bit more serious than it appeared.
Well, you're right. Kelly texted me yesterday and said, you need to get that thing x-rayed. And so I did, and you guys were all right.
I've been through that.
Yeah.
I have the worst ankles in the history of the world. Because,
were we right or were you wrong?
Oh, yeah. Or both.
Well, I don't know. I don't remember what I said, but why is that matter?
You were very condescending you're very hurtful towards Jake.
It's a lot easier to tell someone they're right than say that you're wrong.
I'm wrong all the time. I
am too.
Fonzie can never say
I'm
he was wrong.
I'm being a smartass.
Yeah. Appreciate it. You know, the two things that are great when you end up with a stupid injury like this is now you get to every single person that runs it, what did you do? And you get to tell them the stupid story of what you did.
Why don't you make up that story?
Am I going to make up a bunch of stories, I think.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, because the other thing is if you tell them that you did it on a Segway, the first thing that people will say is, well, that didn't seem like that was a very good idea. Well, thank you for pointing that out. Right. I appreciate that.
I disagree. I really
think it was a great idea.
That's your opinion. But this contrast that has been given to me in life is just another challenge I get to overcome. So you're wrong.
I did get it from Steven and my mom both. Boy, when I heard you were doing a segue, I thought, that sounds like trouble.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
here I am. I'm a dummy.
No, you had an unfortunate accident.
I thought I was done with this since I stopped playing sports,
No.
But apparently I'm capable of stupid injuries anyway. So, anyway, I'll be, I got to stay off it.
No skydiving for you, by the way.
After all the back,
what can go wrong?
After all the issues I had with my back, when finally the straw that broke the Mexican's back was awkwardly lifting up the equipment in training camp to set up for the radio remote, because it's always, because I have to. Longer story than I wanted, but up in the room, got to grab the stuff and go down to Barely's Bar so I can set up and do the remote. And if I have one of my sons or kids to help me, I can grab the stuff. They can grab the stuff and go down there. But there was no one available to help me, so I said, I'm gonna take this all in one trip.
Yeah.
And I was getting the elevator and go down there. I don't need to come back up. I don't need to make two trips. I can just grab everything. Stood up, and I thought someone stabbed me in the back. And so that's, that's a ridiculous story. Like, wow, how did you hurt your back so bad you had to have surgery?
I was at a rodeo.
I was lifting some bags, some work stuff, setting up a remote.
Yeah.
How'd you break your ankle?
Right.
Everest. Man.
Right. Yeah. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
Man. Made it to the dead zone.
What was the last one that I hurt my ankle so bad? That was
playing basketball with the kids.
That was at Phil. So, this is a full circle here. That was when Phil was in eighth grade, and his best friend Connor. They played on at St. Gabe's, the eighth grade basketball team, and the coaches were Connor's dad, Craig, Robbie Sharp's dad, Brett, and me. And we didn't have enough players to have a full scrimmage, so the three of us would have to get, we had like seven players, we had to get out there so we could scrimmage, right? And I was guarding Connor, and he did something and tripped me, and it sounded like I stepped on a twig.
Oh.
And I went down, and it was, and I knew, like, because having done it so many times, I knew, like, right then it was bad.
Yeah.
I said, get me off this basketball floor. I'm going to start cussing. Just drag me. Phil, drag me. Yeah, that was, God, that was awful.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, now that you know what it is and.
Yeah, there is a little bit.
You don't have to do any surgery or anything? Or?
I don't know. I got to go see an orthopedic specialist on Thursday.
What bone did you, exactly?
The bottom of my tibia, where it is what appears to be broken.
Was
so.
It a bad break or is it?
I don't know. It doesn't look like it's displaced or anything. The doctor that I saw yesterday said just, you know, stay off of it.
What's the pain level?
Well, you know, it's funny because, like, when you know what you have, the pain is different than when you don't know what you have, if that makes any sense. Like when I thought that I just sprained my ankle, and, for example, when I stupidly limped all the way through the airport on Sunday.
Good idea.
I kind of felt like I'm just kind of being a big baby, you know, because I really, really hurts to put weight on it.
Right.
And I think my wife has a tendency to think that I can be a pretty big baby when it comes to injuries because she's got a lot of evidence to back that up.
You have a boot on, by the way?
Yeah, I got a boot on. Right. Luckily, I have a boot because I've broken my ankles a couple times before. So, anyways, once I found out it was broken, I mean, I was like, well, at least that makes more sense. I don't feel like I'm as big of a wimp as I was, you know.
Oh, you're still a wimp.
Yeah, but not as big of a wimp as I was. In this situation, I was justified for not, you know, being able to really walk very well. So that last night was a tough. It was one of those, you know, when you break a bone and there's that, like, first couple days where you can't get comfortable because no matter what position you're in, that just. It just hurts.
Well, yeah.
There's that throbbing pain that you can't get rid of, and that's how it was. It feels better this morning, though, since I pretty much stayed off it all day yesterday. So I just – the worst part to me, like, is that you – I just hope – like, I'm not going to have to be on these crutches for very long, you know, but I'm afraid it might be a few weeks, and that
well,
just
well,
like,
maybe,
oh,
maybe
man.
You need to be on the crutches now so you won't
– Well, yeah, and that's –
You know what I mean?
I've learned that
Make
the hard
worse.
Way. Yeah, because last time I broke my ankle, I didn't really listen to the doctor very well and ended up just making it worse and making it last a lot longer, and then it didn't heal the way that it should have.
So are you going to miss games?
No, I don't plan on missing any work or anything. No. My wife secured one of those – Those knee scooter things.
Yeah.
I'm going to have one of those by today, by the end of today. So hopefully that'll help me scoot all over this place.
Wheelie around.
That'll be tough for you around here.
Well, you know, if I'm not getting made fun of for one thing, it's going to be another. So
right.
I was actually thinking about how horrible it's going to be when Sherman Dieter come in.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really bad. It's going to be really bad. That's exactly what I was thinking about.
You just got to accept it. I mean, it is what it is, so at least I know what's going to happen.
It'll make you tougher.
By the way, if you want to check out tickets for Rocky the Musical, mtkc.org. That stands for Music Theater Kansas City, mtkc.org. So the Royals won.
Yeah.
Seth Lugo's a stud.
Dude.
I mean, Seth Lugo has just been incredible.
Royals, huh?
Four straight quality starts from him.
This guy... I mean, this guy at $1 helped me win a National League rotisserie championship last year, and I've long held him in high esteem because he's one of those guys. Like, I don't know, when you play fantasy football, there's like a certain is there a certain player that you always end up on your team for whatever reason? You just like him. I always had him as a pitcher because he was a good reliever that pitched a lot of innings for out of the bullpen. He was a good stabilizer for your ratios. And then he converted to the back to being a starter last year, and I got him at a buck. And he was a really solid starter for the Padres. And I remember at one point even telling my buddy when we were talking about our teams, I go, see, this is that's what the Royals need to do. And find, you know, you're trying to unearth starting pitchers. And it's so difficult for this organization to find starting pitchers. man, find the right reliever and try to convert them into a starter. You've got to think outside the box, because drafting and developing starting pitchers ain't working for this team. Little did I know that they were just going to go ahead and jump ahead a few spaces and just sign Lugo. And they look, and look, they did, he wasn't cheap, he wasn't free, but the idea that he has a great feel for pitching, that he's got such a fluid delivery, as you've heard Bluma and Boddicker and Scotty Carroll, all the pitchers that we have on the show talk about, his athleticism allows him to have that repeatable delivery, and it's almost effortless, and he's a great example to have for the younger pitchers, not just as a guy that could talk to them in the clubhouse, but as a guy that is doesn't look like it's max effort every time, that's relaxed on the mound, that can maybe teach these guys that, what do we talk about, that are always so concerned about velocity and max effort and everything else, that there's more than one way to go about being a successful pitcher, right? And so Seth Lugo not only leads by his words in the clubhouse, but leads by example on the mound. And so far, I mean, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you want to use him as an example? Now, after going seven innings, four hits, no runs, one walk, four strikeouts, he's now 3-0 with a 1.05 ERA. He's just been magnificent. And then Stratton and MacArthur come in, the 1-2 punch, don't give up anything, strike out three, and get the hold and the save. And the Royals are able to win 2-0. And something else that that is a great aspect of the game last night. What did we talk about? With Vinny Pasquantino, when he finally had that big game where he busted out, he didn't have a ribby all season long, and then he busted out and had that game where he had five ribbies, right? So, okay, let him get hot. Because when he gets hot, if you go back and follow him in his journey throughout the minors, throughout the Royal system at every level, he's the kind of hitter, when he gets hot, he gets on fire, and he can carry a team for a couple of weeks. Now, he was ice cold to start the season. And you know, the hope is you kind of level out to where he's more consistent. But, my God, he has these stretches, or he would have these stretches in the minors where for 2 weeks they just couldn't get him out. And he's hitting for power. He's getting on base. He's doing everything. And right now it feels like this is where we're at with Vinny. And that's why the Royals, rightly so, have been so excited about him. That's why the Royals have included him in that nucleus of players that they're not talking about with anyone else. You know, and you can wonder, well, hey, Michael Garcia had a fast start, but he's starting to struggle. But you know what? They still believe in him, and they believe in what his upside is. Bobby Wood Jr. is cooling off a little bit, but my God, he's a stud. Come on. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Cole Reagans, you see why he's part of that group every time he goes on the mound. And now Vinny's showing you, Vinny's reminding you, in case some forgot with the injury and the cold start, oh, that's why St. John was lusting over Vinny Pasquantino when he was in the minors. That's why the Royals love him so much. That's why there's so many analytics guys and seam heads that talk about Vinny and think that he could be a middle-of-the-lineup bat for a decade in this league. Last night, what'd he do? Well, the Royals only scored 2 runs. Didn't need much. And he provided the punch and the power. 2-for-3 with a run scored and a ribby, another home run and a walk. That's Vinny. And when no one else is doing anything. Isbell had the other ribby, but Vinny had a double. Vinny had a home run. Vinny had his 10th ribby. Vinny had a walk. But that was all you needed last night. Vinny provided the offense to win the game. And that's what he could do. And so we know how good Bobby Witt Jr. can be. We know how good Salvi can be. You know, some of these guys that started off on fire, you know, Garcia's cooling off, Bobby Witt Jr.'s cooling off, and what they were doing wasn't sustainable. You know, Velasquez is cooling off a little bit, so is Melendez. But that was one of the things we said. Hey, they're winning, they're doing this, but they're not getting anything from Vinny. Now they're getting a lot from Vinny. And it's just a reminder of what a dynamic bat he can be. So.
Yeah, and what we said with Bod when he said he wasn't worried about him is he'll carry the lineup when some other guys get cold. And that's why it's so important to have depth in your lineup, right? Because you can't count on three guys to stay hot together all season long. You got to have a group of players because they're going to go through their ups and downs through the course of the season. And, man, it's awesome to see because obviously he's at a position, too, where he's got to hit. He's going to have his cold stretches, but overall he's got to be a guy that can help change games, and he is.
He's got 3 homers and 10 ribbies in his last 5 games.
It's all right.
3 for 3, 3 for 5, 1 for 4, 1 for 3, 2 for 3. Throw in 3 walks in there. So before that game against Houston where he went 3 for 3 with 5 ribbies, his slash line, it's April 16th. His slash line the morning of April 10th was 108, 214, 108. His slash line right now, 255, 344, 473. So he's already got his OPS above 800. Trending upward. That's how quick it happens. It's early in the season. It's a lot easier to manipulate stats with a hot week right now. But you see how quickly he dug himself out of that hole.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He's hitting for power. He's getting on base. He's taking walks. He's doing it all. And so that was exciting last night. Again, the rest of the lineup, except for Rizbo, was basically asleep. Vinny Pasquantino was not. The Pasquatch, who, by the way, has a gold chain with a medallion of the Sasquatch. What else do you want from a guy? I mean, come on. Some people wear a crucifix. He's got a Sasquatch on there.
Yeah.
Got a Pasquatch. That's the kind of guy I'm rolling with. I like that. And they love him in the clubhouse. Easy to root for. We'll listen to a on-field interview with Joe Goldberg and Vinny Pasquantino after the break. But the Royals win. Nice win last night. Terrific performance from Seth Lugo. Once again, Vinny Pasquantino stays hot. And the Royals get another win again. And by the way, hey, thank you, White Sox. Appreciate you. It's fun to watch you. Talk about a team that you like to watch play. I like to watch the White Sox play, especially against the Royals. Because they're horrible. And they're now 2-14, by the way. And the Royals are 11-6. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jake, can I hear Vinny talking with Joe Goldberg? Will you let me? I mean, he did hit a home run. And he did hit a double. And he hit a walk. And the Royals won 2-0. I don't know why you're trying to keep Vinny from us. Let's listen to Vinny Pasquantino on the field with Joe Goldberg after the Royals beat the White Sox 2-0 last night in Chicago.
Yeah, the first time they faced the White Sox, it was the MJ Melendez show. Now Vinny's getting in on the action as a regular guest. It looked like a tough night against a guy that's making his big league debut, retired the first 11. What were you able to see maybe the second time around?
Yeah, he did a nice job tonight. Tip your hat to him. He competed really well. And, you know, we were able to scratch one there off of him. Or two off of him?
Two. You took care of one, and is he the other?
Yeah, either way, we put two up, and that was enough tonight. Our guys pitched it really well. Offense didn't really show up the way we would like it to in terms of run production, but I thought we competed really well.
It's a little warm.
Yeah. It's still pretty cold, but it feels good. We're happy with how tonight went, obviously. The result's what matters, and we got to win, and we're ready to get back at them tomorrow.
Winning always feels good. I got to, this is every night, ask you about your starting pitching. You look up at the end, and it's like Seth Lugo just consistent every single time. From your vantage point, how does he do it?
Yeah, it's starting to come the expectation, huh, starters? yeah, what they're doing is ridiculous. And, you know, it's an honor to you know, play behind them every single night. So, it like I just said, it's becoming an expectation for those guys to just be ridiculous every night. But we know that as an offense, we need to do a better job of putting more runs up and, you know, not to put the pressure on all the pitchers all the time to keep these games low scoring. So, for us, we're going to get back at it tomorrow and see what happens.
Last thing, you guys have had this bounce back ability. Yesterday, losing that game, come right back. We've seen it over and over again. Well, what is it about this team that has that ability to flush it so quickly?
We're a good team. That's what it is. It's not a bounce back. We're just a good team. We're not going to fall into these, you know, these mental traps of, oh, we went on a streak of 7 in a row or we lost this many in a row. We're a good team. We expect to come out every night and compete, and that's about it.
Time to turn the page. We'll see you tomorrow.
Let's turn it. Let's get to tomorrow.
Thanks. There you go. Vinny Pasquantino.
Attaboy, Vinny! If you can't love that guy, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, he's quickly becoming a fan favorite. Some people were on the bandwagons earlier than others, as yourself.
But he wears a Sasquatch medallion around his neck. I mean, I don't... Go find me another guy that does that.
Unlikely, you
know?
To.
Well, that's what I mean.
I don't really understand wearing a chain with a medallion while you're playing, because it seems like they would always pop up and hit you in the face when you're running around. But a lot of guys do it, so.
Not if you got that good chest hair to keep it settled in there.
Keep it, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Cushion it. That makes a good point.
Keep it caught in there.
That's a good point.
You wouldn't like that? You wouldn't want to play with the gold chains?
I remember one time I did. I had like a St. Anthony's medallion. And I was playing, I can't remember what sport, but it popped up and hit me in the tooth.
You should have had that medallion on. Maybe you wouldn't have got hurt.
You think? Well.
You may see, I told you to wear a gold chain.
Yeah.
With a cross on it. Have the Lord protect you.
Jesus might have protected me from that.
Right.
Pothole.
Tell people again how you, so just, so we don't have to hear.
We were on a Segway tour, my wife and I, in Washington, D.C., so that we could try to see as much of the National Mall and all the monuments as possible in a short period of time, and we were going pretty fast on their Segway.
How fast?
I would guess 15 miles an hour.
We were hauling ass, literally.
Yeah.
Jake's just shaking his head. Is that too fast?
That's just a guess on my part. They said they go up to...
Do you think he was going too fast? Was he reckless? It's okay to say it.
I have to witness it.
I was following the tour guide, but I...
Well, maybe the tour guide's at fault here.
Well...
I mean, you know, don't want to hash over the past. It's just...
Well, it's the present, because we're dealing with it right now.
I don't see anything wrong with just walking through D.C. I do get... You get to see more.
We walked a lot this
weekend. Listen, but I wanted her to be able to see as many of the monuments as possible.
But, like, if somebody said, hey, of all your friends, who would be most likely to go on a Segway tour? I'd say, oh, Nate, for sure.
Who would be most likely to hurt himself?
No, just go. I got a lot of, like, Big Tom's not doing that.
Right. Okay, yep.
You know, I just got a lot of, you know, I don't think Sam's doing it.
Right.
You know, there's a lot. I don't think Lebo would, maybe.
I can see Lebo doing it.
Would Jake? Jake, would you do that? You don't want that?
Not particularly.
I don't think Bloomer would do it. I don't think Sherm or I mean, I'm just trying to think who would, you know. But I feel like Nate,
I've never been on one before.
And there's nothing wrong with it.
I had not ever been on one before either.
Let me tell you, there are things that I see that, like, you know what, I can't ever even try to do that.
I mean, I could try to do it.
I tried to do it one time, and I did it, and I said, okay, let me get off before.
I've never been on one of those bird scooters either.
I've been on one of those, and I feel like I'd be much more likely to hurt myself on one of those.
That's a disaster waiting. I've been on those for a few seconds. Yeah. Like, all right. Get off, lard ass. Here we go.
Yeah, yeah, I've been on
the writing's on the wall. Yeah. There's things I like. No. Yeah. You know?
Last time I was at DC, I got smashed into by somebody on a bird.
Right.
I thought I broke my arm that day.
Maybe you had to stay out of DC.
I mean, what? Yeah. So they got these bike lanes in certain streets in DC, but they're between where the cars park and the curb. So you got cars parked, then you got a bike lane, then you got the sidewalk. So I get out of my Uber, and I'm walking between these two cars to get up on the sidewalk. And this guy comes flying down the street at full speed and just smashes right into me.
Was he apologetic?
Oh, he was incredibly apologetic because it was his fault.
Sounds like it.
But I didn't have any idea there was a lane there, you know, because you're used to seeing, like, the bike lanes is
next to the
closer
next
to the street.
Yeah.
And so, and I thought I broke my arm that day because it swelled up pretty good.
Wow. Oh, man.
But then a bunch of people ran over and they're like, "You all right?" I said, "You got to check on that bird. I'm doing good." You know, ran into a brick wall. But, yeah, D.C. is a dangerous place for me, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyways, I hit some sort of...
I got some stories about D.C.
Obstacle.
I don't know that they're the same or if they're...
a dangerous spot for me, too.
Right.
I don't
know that they could even be on air. I'm not
probably
even sure
for different reasons.
They could be on Hot Mic with SSJ. I'm not sure of any of that. Okay,
but we did get to see a lot.
I know one or two of them.
Yeah,
and I can tell you, his story's a lot more dangerous than yours.
Hanging out with Hot Dog Vendors.
Right.
By the way, speaking of Hot Mic, I listened to the episode yesterday.
Yeah.
With you and your pops. Great, great episode. I would encourage everybody to listen to it. Really powerful stuff, but also, you might know somebody in your life that's going through similar stuff to what your dad's going through, if people are listening, and I thought it was a really good show. So I highly recommend people listen to it.
I've received a lot of very nice, is that the right word? Very positive feedback.
Thoughtful.
Very thoughtful comments and very kind words. And so, like, if you don't know, I did an hour-long podcast with my dad on Hot Mic with SSJ, and basically just talk about him being recently diagnosed with frontotemporal dementia, which is, and he's the one that made the comparisons, not me, which is, if you've been following the story, the same thing that Bruce Willis was diagnosed with, to try to relate it to something that's current.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had talked about it off the air, and we just said, hey, it's hard for us to talk about it like in real life. Let's do it on the podcast in hopes that if we talk about it and are open about it and share our experience, then maybe it'll help some people out there that might be going through the same thing to be open about it. And spoiler alert, like, you know, when I asked my dad, you know, are you scared? He was, no, not one bit. And that's my dad. He's, you know, and just to listen to him, how he's approaching it.
I genuinely believe him when he says
Oh,
that.
Oh, yeah, I know. I've yet to ask him something where he's, yeah, I'm scared, you know.
You know, sometimes you hear somebody say that, and
right,
you're like, well, okay.
They're putting up a front.
You're you know, you're a boy whistling in the dark.
But,
you know?
Right. But for the way he's approaching it and the way, I don't know, I think maybe it could help someone that either, if you have a parent that's going through it right now, or if you have a loved one, or if you're going through it. I think it always helps to hear other people that are going through something similar to make you realize you're not alone.
Yeah.
And also just to hear someone being open and honest about it, maybe that'll help other people talk about it. So.
And, it, you know, it's raising at alarming rates. Alzheimer's and dementia, the rates that it's rising is off the charts. It's a mammoth issue within our society and structure. So it affects touches everybody's life.
No, and, you know, we just had like a lot of conversations and just, you know, you gotta plan for it and plan for the future. And I've had a lot of conversations with the kids about how we're going to approach this and what we're going to do. And it's like, this is no, like, it's not rocket science, you know, what we've come up with. I've had individual conversations with all my kids, like, hey, you know, you got to call your grandfather more. We got to take every opportunity to spend more time with him. We're going to, you know, go see him more often, more than we already do. You know, we're going to, I'm trying to take him to all of Julia's track meets and Selena's basketball games and getting together like we did for the Rocky musical and just taking him to movies and just trying to max. And you know what? It's a lesson. You should do this anyway. It shouldn't take something like this to motivate you to maximize the time that you have with people that you love and really take advantage of it and not, you know, sometimes, we could go out to eat. I don't really want to go, or I don't want to get together. But you know what? Just makes me appreciate all the opportunities I still have to go and hang out with my dad or take him someplace or have conversations with him, or especially, I want that for the kids. You know what I mean? I want them to create as many memories as possible for him and for them. That's one of the things that we're trying to, like tonight we'll all be together for Phil's birthday, you know, and it's fun to see him. He's not a track meet guy, but he's becoming one, you know. So what do you mean? Shouldn't run for another hour? Then what do we do? I said, well, we talk.
Enjoy each other's company.
Go eat a hot dog. Go watch some other events. Watch some of her friends. All right. Okay. All right. You know, 10 minutes later. How much longer? I said, well, another 50 minutes. You know. All right. These kids are pretty fast out here. I said, yeah, they are. They sure are, Dad. You know, because he wants everything right now. But he's always been that way.
Yeah.
You know, he's not
one. He's got things to do.
Yeah. My entire life, he's been on his way someplace.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I got to go. Where? I don't know. So, but if you win a chance, I appreciate you saying that. Listen to Hot Mike with SSJ, and it was, it meant a lot to me, and it meant a lot to him, and he's already heard from a lot of people, and so he was glad that he did it. So, and sometimes he's a tough nut to crack, boy. Sometimes.
Well, he gives very direct answers to you. Yeah. You have to ask him a lot of questions to get somewhere, but you did, you know. And
did you like the story about him and my grandpa and how they got his bail bonds business rolling? Did you like that, you know? Yeah. So I could tell this story. The guy's probably dead now. So, okay, right. Well. Yeah. Then, you know, hey, yeah. When he starts a story like that, yeah. You know it's going to be a doozy.
Right.
Buckle up.
Okay, here we go. Let's hear this. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The Chiefs had some Zoom calls to kick off phase one of the offseason yesterday. Play a couple of quick clips here, and we're going to play some more at 8 o'clock. Andy Reid here talks about Rashee Rice and his status as they begin the off-season program.
Yeah, so there's no real participation other than by Zoom, so he'll participate in that. But other than that, we don't have anything going on here that he would be involved with. So to answer your question, he's participating in the Zoom.
Okay.
And again, just a reminder on this, it's voluntary. So as we go forward, that's also another part of it.
Right. And do you anticipate that when you move the next phase, it moves back to Kansas City, that it'll be participating in that phase as well?
We're just going to take it day by day here as we go.
All right. Skip ahead to number four, please. Here, Andy Reid was asked if he still has trust in Rashee Rice.
Well, yeah, listen, as long as he's learned from it, that's it. That's the important part of it. And, you know, we'll take it from there and see, you know, see what takes place. But right now we're just kind of gathering everything and trying to make sure we have all the bases covered.
Number six, please. Here, Patrick Mahomes was asked if he plans on working with Rashee Rice during this first phase of the offseason, which started yesterday.
Yeah, I've worked with Rashee throughout the offseason and just in general. I'm sure we'll continue that work as the legal process plays out.
There's one I got for Nate. Let's go to number 12. So that's the Rashee Rice comments there.
Got it.
Now,
taking it day by day.
That's all you can do, really.
Yep.
Andy Reid was asked about Kadarius Toney. Let's hear if this sounds like someone who's not going to be on the team this year.
Yeah, so listen, I mean, Kadarius is arguably one of the most talented guys we have on the team. It's just a matter of staying healthy and being able to stay on the field. And, you know, you always hear about the reliability, accountability, all those things that go into it. And so I'm expecting him to come back ripping and ready to go. And it's great that he's down there working with Pat and putting the work in. So that's, you know, that's a positive. But, yeah, no, listen, we like Kadarius. It's just a matter of having him on the field.
Respond, please.
reliability and accountability is clearly has been an issue for him up until this point.
The most important one's availability.
And availability.
Yeah. I mean, he's banged up. He couldn't even get on the field at the end of the year last year.
Right.
So, I mean, I get it. I see what Coach is saying. Got to stay healthy.
I'm not sure Kadarius Toney got it, though. You know.
Hey, maybe he's figured it out in the off season.
Is that right? He's got all the talent in the world, so.
One of the most talented guys on the team, Andy said. So give him a little more of an opportunity to figure out the other parts.
8 o'clock, we'll hear more Andy Reid, some Nick Bolton, and some more Patrick Mahomes. We'll do that after we talk to Jamie Bluma right here on Sports Radio 810 WHP.